This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com.
Well, Thomas Pagel is the Senior Director, Rules of Golf and Amateur Status for the United States Golf Association. Earlier this week, the USGA announced some guidelines for those green reading books. It's a pleasure to welcome Thomas Pagel back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Why did the USGA feel the need to address this topic?
Yeah, John. I mean, as you recall, back in May of 2017, we actually, with the RNA, released a statement. And that statement was really our first public recognition that we were aware that these green maps, these green books that players were using, were becoming increasingly more detailed, increasingly more accurate. And really, we had questions about how players were using them. And really, from our perspective, how the use of them was impacting the skills, the judgment, and abilities of the player. And so we spent the better part of a year reviewing it, looking at the books, understanding the books, but then also looking and saying, okay, if we were to regulate these, how would we go about doing that? And ultimately, that's what we came out with recently, was a proposed interpretation that would limit the amount of detail that these green books could show. So anything above 4% could have as many arrows and lines as they want, but these arrows or these areas that are going to be closer to where holes will be cut will actually be free of this detail. And again, that takes it back to the skills and abilities of the player to be able to read these subtle breaks, so to speak.
I've seen the books, and they are at times a little difficult to understand, which leads me to this, and maybe you've just done some of this, a Reader's Digest version of what you're going to be requiring. So for someone that's never seen one of these books, can you, in some sort of Reader's Digest version, explain what it looks like on a green?
Sure. So I would say, for somebody that's never seen one, the first thing is just to think of a traditional yardage book that you might have from your home course or that club you went down the street and played last week. And there's always going to be a little picture of a green on the hole in those books. And you might see some arrows, some little indication of tops of slopes. Well, these green books, you take that image, you blow it up so it's larger, you break it out into five-yard grids, and within each five-yard grid, you pack in, you know, 75, 80 arrows that show you the direction and the amount of slope on the putting green. And so essentially what you end up with is a green map with hundreds, if not thousands, of little arrows, all of which are color-coded, showing you that it's 1% slope here, 4% slope here. And essentially what it allows for is, if you can estimate where your ball is on that grid, where the hole is on that grid, it can essentially give you a direct line to the hole, a recommended line. And that's really what we looked at, what concerned us the most, is these things have become so detailed through this professionally surveyed equipment where they're mapping millions of data points on every green, and I've seen that the level of precision is within millimeters of accuracy. And so you essentially are getting this map that is showing you every angle on the putting green, every little break. And again, if you can accurately find where your ball is and where that hole is, it'll give you that line and really remove that skill of reading a green and that judgment that's required of a player in identifying your line of putt and then executing the stroke.
I feel the need to say this, Thomas. When you say the word slope, for those who casually play the game, they may be thinking of distance slope and elevation. And you are talking about elevation, but essentially you're talking about the breaking of a putt, how the putt breaks.
That's exactly right. When you're watching players on TV and they're looking at breaks, they're all aware of the percentage slope. And so obviously zero is going to be relatively flat. And then you start getting up, you know, 1% slope has a little bit movement into it. Typically speaking, if you're setting up a golf course, you would never want to cut a hole at less than or at anything above 3.5%, because then there's too much movement And if a ball doesn't go in the hole, it's probably going to run out. Now, there are greens, and we've had some at Shinnecock where there's just no areas that are less than 4%, and so you ultimately have to go up there. But generally speaking, what this will do, what this proposed interpretation will do, is all of those areas where the hole should be cut, now those 75 or 80 arrows per five-yard grid go away, and the players left to their own eyes and doing their homework and their own judgment to identify their line.
We're talking with Thomas Pagel from the USGA here on the Augusta Golf Show. So now we're in a period, as we are often when you guys do this, we're in a period of collecting comments, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, look, typically speaking, our rules process would not have a feedback or a comment period. But certainly we've done that as of late, especially with rules modernization and really the massive amount of changes that are coming about for 2019. But with this particular one, they've become, the use of these books have become prevalent. We wanted to make sure that anybody that uses these books or anybody that develops these books has an opportunity to have a conversation with us. And as we went through our 12-month process, for various reasons, we weren't able to have a number of those conversations. So now that we're public, frankly, we want to hear what people have to say. And if there's a way to make the interpretation clearer, if there's a way to make the interpretation better, we certainly want to do that before we go final.
Explain, if you would, Thomas, the restrictions, if there are some, when it comes to what a player or his caddy may or may not do, when it comes to what they're writing down.
Yeah, and John, that is, I'll be honest with you, over the 12 months, that was probably the most challenging part in all of our conversations is as we had these discussions and we looked at these detailed green maps, which are relatively new to the playing of the game, we said, okay, well, if that's our concern, we want to limit the amount of detail. Let's make sure we don't go too far back, right? Because the easiest solution in all of this would just be to say, once your ball's on the putting green, you can't reference any material. But for years, players have been referencing hole location sheets, their yardage book, their notes in their yardage book, and we didn't want to take that away. And so the interpretation will still allow for traditional yardage books, and it'll still allow for players to put their handwritten notes in those traditional yardage books. And so if you play a golf course often, and you know that putt breaks hard left, even though it looks like it might break a little bit to the right, you start writing yourself notes, don't forget breaks left, or you start drawing in target areas saying, hey, leave your ball here because it's under the hole. All those things are okay. Those have been traditionally accepted. We want to make sure that those continue to be allowed. But what you're not going to be able to do is to go find one of these detailed green maps, set it down next to your yardage book, and just start copying arrows and in essence, creating your own detailed map because you'd be creating a copy. Yes, it wasn't professionally developed for you, but essentially you're developing the same thing. And frankly, that's really the challenge as to what level of detail in the notes becomes too much detail. But just as we do with so many rules, we're going to have to rely on the integrity of the player and say you can write general notes, general comments, general arrows, but you can't copy these things and you can't write in specific information such as slope reading. So again, it is that area that as we go through this comment period, I'm most interested to speak to players about to make sure that we get this right so that at the end of the day, it is enforceable while still allowing for them to do their homework and rely on that homework that just as they've done for so many years.
All right. So that's the part that kind of confuses me, Thomas. Hypothetically speaking, maybe this isn't fair to do, but hypothetically speaking, if a player and or their caddy had the wherewithal to, from scratch, create this sort of thing, and maybe they're guessing its slope, maybe they're, maybe they're figuring it's 2% of, are they allowed to do that? You just don't want them copying from an already produced diagram.
And so if you were to look at, again, if you were to look at these detailed green maps, the 75, 80 plus arrows that are packed into a little 5-yard by 5-yard grid, that's bent. And that is, like I said, they're accurate within millimeters, according to one of the developers. Handwritten notes are never going to be able to be that detailed. And so players will still be able to go in and create that stuff. Another component to this too, John, is the size of the green map. This interpretation actually limits the overall size. So some of these books, they've blown the maps of these greens up larger than you would think of in a normal traditional yardage book. Or you've seen some players that will actually print out an image of every green on 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. All that goes away, and now the green map is going to be reduced in size to such where the level of detail that you'll be able to write in with your handwritten notes will never sort of meet the standard, really, of these detailed green maps.
30 seconds we have left. Is there also a pace of play component in all of this?
You know, John, a lot of people have referenced that, and people have referenced it, frankly, on both sides. I will tell you, from our perspective, as we looked at this, pace of play was never a motivating factor in any of it. You know, you hear people say that this will speed up, and certainly that may be the case for some. But I know I've also witnessed a number of incidents where players will go through their normal routine, and then they have this added layer of now looking at the green book. So it really is anecdotal on both sides. But again, it wasn't a motivating factor in any of this. It was all about the skill and judgment of the player in reading the line of puck.
Well, I thank you for doing this, Thomas. Actually, and I've seen the books, as I said. And when the announcement was made, I was still a bit confused about what you guys were trying to do. I thank you for taking the time to do this. He is Thomas Pagel, Senior Director, Rules of Golf and Amateur Status for the USGA. Thomas, thank you for doing this. We will talk again.
John, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.